Okay. Good evening, ladies. Welcome back. Shkoyach for coming. In the Sefer we use... So first of all, this is the first shir in Elul, Tavshin Samaches. It's the eighth shir in Perek Dalet. Le'ilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson. In the text that I use, we're on page Kuf Mem Hei. And we'll start... We'll go through very quickly... we'll bring up to date. Perek Dalet, the Sefer, the Shaar Bitachon, up till Perek Dalet, is a workbook, and really it's never ending. Meaning, you have to practice, and he tells you how to develop Bitachon, and it's like a workbook. The first three program is a workbook, and as we explained, Bitachon is we say it's an active verb. You have to practice relying on Hashem. It's not just like a nice thought that you think about Hashem, but you have to bepoel. Actually, you are relying on Hashem. Like, think of the word rely as an active verb. I'm relying on Hashem. I'm not relying on the doctor. I'm not relying on my own capabilities. I'm not relying on my boss. I'm relying on Hashem. And you have to work at that. And he tells us in the first three prokim how to develop that mindset. Perek Dalet already says, okay, let's get down to Lamaisa. Like, what do I do when I'm fired? What do I do if I'm ill? What do I do if my child's not doing well in school? What do I do if my best friend did something real nasty to me? How do I deal with Parnosa issues? That's what Perek Dalet says. Let's put this into the realm of a reality. How do we really deal with these things? How do you apply bitachon to real life situations? So the first part, he makes a list of situations or relationships that he will be dealing with, and the first part he spends a lot of time on, and we did also, and that is basic sustenance. Like, how do you deal with the idea of having parnasa, making ends meet? We're not going to go over that again. You'll listen to, if you aren't here, you'll listen to the MP3 on the website. And we're up to Avobir HaChelek HaSheni. Now he goes beyond basic necessities. What is your attitude of talking? I want to be wealthy. I want to have money. I want to be comfortable. I want to have a larger than necessary house. I want to have a comfortable life. I want to go beyond my basic necessities. What is my attitude towards Hashem providing it for me? Can I rely on, I have to work. What is my hishtadlus? Do I do hishtadlus? I want to be wealthy. I want to be comfortable. Now, the Chavit HaLobos in this section is not going to be dealing with the propriety of having such an attitude. That's for another time and place, whether a person should have these wants and needs, and, you know, should I spend my life, should I make that a goal of my life to go beyond basic necessities? And so he doesn't deal with that. He's not giving Musar about that. He's talking about bitachon and hishtadlus. How much do I do in order to attain that? Number one. Number two is, of course, that the issue of basic necessities versus comfort is undefined. And it's hard to define. It's hard to objectively say what it is. Every person is different. Every society is different. If you look in the Gemara and you read through the books, they had one or two room houses, and somehow everybody fit there. And you read stories about Yerushalayim 150 years ago. Also, they had two room houses, and it seems they survived. They were fine. So, does that mean anything beyond that is a luxury? So again, we're not going to get into that. What we need to have peace of mind. He's not dealing with that. That's going to be undefined, and we're not going to talk about that either. That's a subject for another class, Mitzvah Hashem, another discussion. How much our lives include as necessities things that perhaps shouldn't be necessities, or maybe they are. Maybe since we're used to them, as I say, you know, air conditioning in Ramat Beit Shemesh, you know, that's a necessity. At least for me it is. You know, I couldn't dream of being without it. But it, you know, and what was before air conditioning? You know, people lived before air conditioning also. Okay, we're not going into that. He goes into now, and he says a chiddush. I'll go very quickly because we really covered this already. He says a tremendous chiddush that we have to accept it. I mean, hopefully, we'll learn how to solve this. Till now, he said that when it comes to basic necessities, you have to pull your weight, and you have to do it well, and you have to be smart, and you have to figure out a business plan, and you have to do a customer surveys, and you don't go overboard, but your hishtadlus includes whatever would be the norm in terms of making ends meet, again, basic necessities. If you want to go beyond that, you have a game plan, and again, beyond, we're not defining basic necessities, but you want to have a jacuzzi. Let's assume for a moment that having a jacuzzi is not a necessity in any in our society, to our lives. I want to have. It wasn't that long ago. My father, Olav Shalom, my mother, Olav Shalom, was nifta. My father remarried, and she would tell us, his second wife. She was already, she was rich. In Europe, she was rich. She was upper class. She had one weekday dress. Laugh. She had one weekday dress and two Shabbos dresses. She had three dresses. She was rich. She was in the, and everybody else had one weekday dress and one Shabbos dress. If you want to go beyond basic necessities, he says it's wrong for the Baal Bitachon. Someone with a Bitachon mindset, it's wrong to, let's say you work, again, we said this last time, I'll repeat it, I'll sum up. I have a store. So the Chavis HaLodos is really talking about, I'll keep the store open 5 hours a week, 5 hours a day, and I'll make Parnassah. And if I want to be comfortable and I want to earn more money, I have no, the Baal Bitachon does not keep it now open 7 hours a day. You have no heter to keep it open another 2 hours. If Hashem wants you to have more than your basicness, your heter is to work 5 hours. You have no heter to work 7 hours. It's wrong to. It's the Baal Bitachon. The Baal Bitachon will not work 7 hours. The Baal Bitachon will say, Hashem wants me to work 5 hours, and if Hashem wants me to be rich, if Hashem wants me to have more than basic necessities, Hashem's a real smart fellow. He could make it work within the 5 hours of work that I'll have more than basic necessities. And this is true not just, again, the Chavis HaLodos uses parnasa, but it's true about everything in life. The hishtadlus is for the, Hashem wants us to extend out, to expend our own efforts. And he explains why in the third parak. Hashem wants us to expend our own efforts for basic sustenance, for basic health, we'll call it, you know, if anything in life, for the basics. And anything beyond that, you're really not supposed to do. The Baal Bitachon says, you know, if Hashem wants to send a bracha in what I'm doing, so he could send it in my 5 hours. And he could make me rich in my 5 hours of work. It doesn't take a miracle. Now, the Achronim who discuss the Chavis HaLodos recognize that we live in a society, for example, let's take a store, that a store that will be open for 5 hours a day is quickly going to lose all of its customers and will lose its whole customer base and won't have even basic parnasa. Okay, so you can give a sigh of relief, as we say. But that's only, that happens to be the reality. You know, it's true. So if you talk about a store, but if you talk about a person that, let's say, works independently at home and edits books, you know, and won't lose any business by, you know, limiting what they do. So because the Lord says, you do your basic sustenance, you do what will make ends meet, that's your only heter, And Hashem, if he wants you to go beyond that, if he wants you to have more money, will send a bracha in what you do. And you have no, the Baal Bitachon does not do more. The Baal Bitachon says, look, if Hashem wants me to be rich, because really that would apply even for basic sustenance, except that we have to make our hishtadlus. Hashem wants us to expend our kochos to live, to have, you know, to make ends meet, to have basic sustenance, to survive. Hashem wants us to do that. That's how Hashem structured the world. But once we go beyond that, so there's no heter, and so he says, let me learn inside the words. She yisasek adu b'meshiyid lo Hashem mehem lahaspakoso for his needs v'lemuzono v'yikach men kadei sipuko ba'olam v'im gozer lo Hashem b'yoser al kach, if Hashem wants him to have more money than his necessities, yivo ehu b'li koshi v'torach, he'll have it without working the extra 2 hours. Kasher yiftach al Hashem bo. Now this is, you know, what do they call it? This is the, maybe this is a deal breaker. He says you have to have bitachon. In other words, someone who, let's say someone who's listening to this shir, so they have a store, and they'll say, okay, I figure I can make ends meet with 5 hours. I won't lose customers, so I'm closing up at 5 o'clock. And if Hashem wants me to have more money, so I'll have more money. I don't really believe, the person doesn't really believe that. They go, yeah, but, you know, Rabbi Milinowitz said so, or the Chavis Halbavitz said so, and I'm going to be a good girl, and I'm going to listen to the Chavis Halbavitz. So it's not going to work. The Chavis Halbavitz is talking about a Baal Bitachon, and you have to develop Bitachon using the first 3 prakim. But we're here to learn about Bitachon and to work on developing it, because that really defines our relationship with Hashem. But he said in the first few lines of Shar HaBitachon that if a person doesn't have Bitachon, then Hashem says, okay, you know, have it your way. And, you know, if you want to make it through life yourself without me, so to speak, and just let events occur, say a person gets a prognosis, you know, the doctor says, you know, something. So the person, if the person doesn't have Bitachon, session. Okay, well, so we'll let it happen. So a person has to develop bitachon to be zocher to the brachos of bitachon. You have to really have it. It's not like a, you know, it's not a mitzvah. We keep Shabbos even if we don't have in our minds the lessons of Shabbos. Even if we're not holding there mentally and emotionally and spiritually, we're not holding by Shabbos. Shabbos to us just means, you know, I'm going to get some extra hours of sleep, and my husband's home to watch the kids, and we get some good food, and that's Shabbos. So, okay, you know, that's not so good, but we have to keep Shabbos anyway. Bitachon is not like that, he's saying. If you just go through the motions and you open your store for just 5 hours, that's not the point. The point is to truly believe what I'm telling you, he says. The point is you have to be boteach b'Hashem, that there's no reason to work for more. There would really be no reason to work the 5 hours either. But, okay, that Hashem wants us to do. So I'm doing it because it's Hashem's will that I do it. But I have no reason to work more, and I fully rely on Hashem to, if Hashem wants me to be more comfortable than just making ends meet, so I will become more comfortable than just making ends meet. And if he doesn't want me to, then even if I keep the store open 10 hours a day, it's not going to help. I'm not going to have that more, that extra money that I want, that I would like to have. He says, Kasha yiftach al Hashem bo, the yifne, and he turns aside, he taka closes the store after 5 hours with the confidence that, you know, I'm relying on Hashem to give me the money that I'm supposed to have. V'im lo gozer lo Hashem yosu michtei akalkola, if Hashem doesn't want him to have more than basic sustenance, ilu rotsu anshe shemayim v'oretz, lo hosif lo, even if all the malachim got together, and all the rich people in the world got together and wanted to give him more money, ain't hadover be'ef sherusim b'shem ponim, it wouldn't help, below b'shem tziba. But now he says, okay, v'chasha yiftach al Hashem b'kach, hisig menuchas nafsho u'shkitas machshavto. A very powerful statement, and this he repeats what he said in the first opening sentence of the whole Shaar HaBitachon. And that is, he says, listen to me, he says, people that want to be comfortable and they're chasing after money, so they're an emotional wreck and they're nervous, and if they don't have bitachon, so their lives, they don't have menuchas nefesh, they are always on the go, they're always nervous, if you don't have bitachon, you're always nervous that your competitor's taking away business from you. You're always nervous that you're not doing enough. Maybe I should keep the store open even more and more. And if I don't get that customer, the other guy's going to get the customer. And I need the money now. And I can't wait till a month from now. And I'm going to miss the sale. And I'm going to miss this. And I'm going to miss that. Because if you develop bitachon in this area, meaning I'm not going to work more than 5 hours. There's no point. And a Baal Bitachon wouldn't do it. Hisig Menuchas Nafsho, he develops, he's calm, his life now changes, he becomes calm. Right? Once you do your Hishtadlus, and we talked about it in the area of health, in the area of Parnosa, in the area of Chinuch of children, in any area in life, you have to work out what your basic hishtadlus demands of you, and that's not simple. It's not a simple matter. And you know, you have to work it out. If you can't work it out, I'm offering my services if you want to come talk to me. I mean, Chavis Lovitz doesn't talk about that. You know, he can't address every single person and say this is what your basic minimum is, and this you not only are allowed to do, but this you have to do. This is what Hashem wants you to do. He can't. You know, that's not the nature of what the Sefer is able to do. So there's a whole lot of work even after we learn the Sefer. But the principle that he's saying is to develop, we talked about health, we talked about buying healthy foods, is to find what you consider to be your hishtadlus level, your making ends meet level, your basic minimum level, and then you do that, and then you have bitachon that if it's Hashem wants you to go beyond that, you will go beyond that. With He will send bracha within the tsinoros, the channels that you have created with your hishtadlus. So Hashem will send bracha if you are going to have bracha. You will have it through that. And you'll develop menuchas nefesh. You'll be calm. You'll be serene. Ushkitas machshavta. You won't be nervous, because as you're doing the minimum, and you have bitachon that you'll have whatever Hashem has in store for you. L'tishlo tabor parnasosum imenuel zulah. So you won't be nervous that your competitor is getting. Right? I mean, this is real life, you know. In anything, right? I have a store, so I'm gonna just, my hishtadlus is to have a store, to do a market survey and make sure I have the items that the customer wants, and to be open when customers come, and to advertise. Maybe I should have taken a full page. Maybe I should have advertised every week, not just once a month. Maybe this and maybe that, and you see a customer walking into the other store, and you try to find out why. You won't think like that. Nothing that's supposed to go to you and your parnasa will go to your competitor. Velo yikdam, you won't get the money earlier. Velo yisacher mikfis manu hagarzulo. But when you develop bitachon, you develop a sense that, you know, Hashem goes there what you're going to have, and I'm relying on Him to send it to me, and He doesn't need my hishtadlus, and even my hishtadlus is only being done because it's His will. He wants me, and why He wants me to do it, we learned. Because it's really also unnecessary. But he wants people to play a role or be active, or for the reasons he said, people should, keeps them out of trouble, he said. Keeps them out of trouble, and it, and that's what life is made out of. That's where their bechira finds expression as they go through the motions of ishtadlus. So that's where you see, are they going to talk lashon hara? Are they going to cheat about Shabbos, you know, chas v'shalom? Are they going to charge more than they should? Are they going to be honest? Right. This is where, this is what separates the women from the girls, the men from the boys, as you go through life and you're doing your hishtadlus. That's what he explained before. But more than that, who needs it? And the Baal Bitachon understands that, and Adarabba, it gives him or her a more pleasant life, a more serene life, a more calm life. Okay, now we go on to the next paragraph. So that's his principle about having more money than necessary. But now he goes on to say that there could be another circumstance of having more money than necessary. And that is if you have a business and you employ many people. Again, you have to think beyond the particular example he gives. You have other people like under you that rely on you. So you are earning money, but your basic ishtadlus is now to provide an income, in his examples, to provide for all these people who are working for you. You're running a business. And Hashem really made you the shliach to provide them with parnasa. So to them, so your hishtadlus is now, right, they're doing their hishtadlus, but you have to do your hishtadlus. You're in a position of providing parnasa. You don't have the luxury of saying, Chazal is saying, I'm going to address this in a few moments though, but what he's saying here, he's assuming that someone who's in that position, who finds himself in that position, life has dealt him the cards that now he has people that are dependent on him. So he doesn't have the luxury of saying, well, you know, I'm going to work for 4 hours. Because if he works for 5 hours, but these people, and what is he going to do with his employees? Is he going to fire them? He is the chosen channel through which Hashem is channeling these people, parnasa. So that's what he says in the next paragraph. He says, "Pa'amim, sometimes." Now, mezamin Hashem parnasas harbim mibnei adam al yedei adam echad mehem. And this is an assayon to the person, because. So what's my heter, so to speak? So he says, it's a double-edged sword. He says, on one hand, I don't have the luxury of being from. The Chazal says, I don't have the luxury of being frum and saying, well, you know, I'm not going to work more than my basic necessity, because you have a whole melucha here. You have a melucha here, and you have to generate income for, you have 10 employees, you know. On the other hand, if your mindset true, and if your mindset is truly that, though, you know, if you want to take advantage of this loophole, call it. It's not a loophole. But then you have to look at yourself as a shliach of Hashem to provide these people with parnasa. And he says, that's, unfortunately, he goes on to say, the boss, this is written 1,000 years before Karl Marx, the boss doesn't have that attitude, unfortunately, and he really should. The boss thinks he's doing them a favor. He doesn't look at himself as the tzinor to which Hashem is sending parnasa. This is his nisayon. The nisayon of a person who employs others, and he's working more than the minimum because, and this applies to everything, he's doing more than the bare minimum because he's the conduit, he's the channel through which other people are attaining their minimum. But he has to look at himself that way. And this gives rise to his nisayon. If he feels he's doing them a favor by giving them a paycheck, and he toys with them, and he lords over them, and he's, what's the word, he's overbearing, he makes sure they know that he's the boss. he failed his nisayon. His whole heter to maintain his melucha is to look at himself as a shliach, to humbly look at himself as a shliach Hashem to provide these people with parnasa. And he thanks Hashem that he is doing this mitzvah. But if to maintain his business he starts doing dvarim ho'asurim, so that obviously he's not looking at himself as a shliach of Hashem. He's looking at it as my melucha, then the whole thing's wrong. So he says, sometimes a person will be doing things more than the bare necessity, because he finds himself in a position that he's providing for others through everything he's doing, and that's okay, the Chavis Halbada says, but it's okay because of the mindset. Because what's happening is that Hashem is making him the channel through which other people are getting their parnasa, and his nisayon is to think that way, and that will affect his behavior, and he'll go on to detail the nisyonos that such a person has. Before going further and saying that, I want to say something. When I learned this, I said, I wonder if someone were to come to me and say, I have this business, and it takes up like my whole day, it takes up 12 hours a day, 10 hours a day, and I employ 50 people there, and Rabbi, I'm getting old, and I want to close up shop, I want to go to Kollel. I want to learn 5 hours a day. I want to close up my business. Am I mechuyev? Like I'm mechuyev. I'm really sacrificing. We're thinking now. We believe in Hashem. We believe in Olam Haba. Right? He says, I want to spend my time doing mitzvahs. I'm learning, doing mitzvahs. I'm 60 years old already. I want to spend my time in more spiritual pursuits. I want to scale down the business. I don't know. I wonder what I would tell him. I don't know. It's a very difficult question to answer. What would the Chavis Halbada say? If he's in a position where he's providing people with parnasa, this is an eternal question. This is a fundamental question that we really all face in life, and that is how much to do for ourselves and how much to do for others. Chavis Halbada is sort of casually assuming, this is what I thought when I learned it, Chavis Halbada is casually assuming that a person in this position should do it, should see himself that way, and should see himself as an agent of Hashem to provide. And I don't know, like, let's say a person says, but what about me? Don't I come first? And I'm thinking of my Olam Haba. So I can answer him, well, if you feel like you're doing the Ratz on Hashem, so there's no greater thing to do. You're not going to lose out if you're doing Hashem's will. I guess, that's what the Chavis was a chiddush to me. It's a chiddush. And we all struggle with, everybody struggles with this. I struggle with it, you all struggle with it. Like, how much do we do for others, and how much do we work on our own personal development? So the ideal answer is to feel that my personal development is in doing for others. I guess that's great. If we really believe that and feel that way, we don't feel like we're sacrificing. Every person really with a family, every person with children. I'm sure you all feel. We all want to go to shul on Yom Kippur, right? We're home diapering babies, And really, what we're doing is, so we are sacrificing in a certain narrow sense. I feel that way in the shul. Everybody has this conflict when you're doing for others and you're sacrificing your own personal development. And I guess the way you come to terms with it is really with bitachon. is by saying, Hashem put me in this position. I didn't ask for it, so to speak. This is, it sort of happened, and it happened naturally. So certainly it's consistent with Jewish thought that my own personal development is in doing for others, that's not a weird concept. You know, I guess Moshe Rabbeinu also would have liked to, you know, shut the door and just commune with Hashem, I imagine, you know. But that hit me when I was learning this Chavis Haldovus, where he just got through saying that it's unjustified for me to, again, I'll use shorthand, it's unjustified for me to work more than 5 hours. Right, so what I do with the rest of my time, I should do mitzvahs and I do chesed and learn and then you know, help others and, you know, do mitzvahs. I have to spend 5 hours a day or doing what has to be done, and the rest of the time I could develop myself spiritually. I could learn Chavis Halavos. I could review the Chavis Halavos. And he turns around and says, if you find yourself... He just got through saying that. And he says, it's inexcusable to do more. The Baal Bitachon says, Hashem wants me to be rich, I'll be rich. Then he turns around and says, I was struck by it. Then he turns around and says, if you find yourself in a position that you're providing other people with parnasa, you have to, you keep that store open 10 hours a day. Hashem has chosen you to be the channel through which others are earning their sustenance. And you are the shliach of Hashem to do that. And that's okay. Upamim mezamin Hashem parnosos harbin bibnei yodim. Sometimes Hashem maneuvers, works it out, that there are a bunch of people who are dependent on you. And Hashem put you in that position, and now you're going to have a nisayon. Because you could be the boss, and you're doing them a favor when you write out a paycheck, and you could feel like you're giving away your money. Right? That's what he says. He says, you know, it's like it tears you to write out a check to them, to give them their paycheck, you know, because that's really your money. You're giving it to them. And that's bad. That's no good. Or you can cut corners and be dishonest because you have this huge business going and you gotta keep it going. But then you're not looking at yourself as an agent of Hashem to provide other people with parnasa. That's for sure. Because then you wouldn't act that way. And it wouldn't hurt you to give them a raise. Right? It wouldn't hurt you you wouldn't feel like you're doing them a favor. You wouldn't expect them to, you know, you would expect a thank you, but you wouldn't expect them to, you know, bring you a cup of coffee in the morning because you're the boss. Because you're only heter to be running this malucha is because you're Hashem's agent to provide those with parnasa. It's not even your money. The check says on it Chaim Malinowitz, but it really doesn't say Chaim Malinowitz on it. The check says Chaim Malinowitz and all the people that work for me. That's the real names, that's Hashem's names on the check. That's what he says. Sometimes Hashem sets that up, and you have your nisayon now. And this is one of the greatest nisayonos in the world. This is one of the biggest nisayonos a person faces, where he feels like it's his money. He's talking now about the guy that's following the rules. So he's having this huge business, and he's earning one. His intake is, he's turning over $2 million a year in sales. It's a nisayon. It's one of the greatest nisayonos in the world. Does he feel like it's his money? Does he feel like he's rich, and he's doing people a favor, or does he humbly feel that he's Hashem's agent, and that's the heter to have this whole, or else he should scale down, he should close up shop, he should scale down, he should work only 2 days a week? What's his excuse? We just got through saying you shouldn't do this. So if you're going Hamelech, he kings of a king who has an army, and he supports them. V'chein hasorim v'anshei hamamshala v'amamunim shebechosus v'miskaimim rabim v'mei boteim. They under them they have a whole village to support, a whole bunch of people that are dependent on them. U'mishaseim u'fakideim v'avodim u'bonim u'krovim. I mean, household members, right? I'll please excuse me, a man or a woman who earns karnasa, so they're supporting the household. They can't scale back. They have all these kids to feed. That's part of what he's saying too. That's your responsibility. It's a responsibility. You can't. He's not just talking about the person who has a million-dollar business with 50 employees. He's talking about any person that runs a household. Has that's the same dynamic, and you have people dependent on you, and you Hashem Shliach to provide for them, and that's your hat there and your responsibility to not think about just yourself, not even your own. This is your task. This is what Hashem wants you to do. This is the position He put you in. The historic beglolim, and because of them, he has to be busy earning money. He has to keep up sales. He can't let sales slip. He has to keep on turning over $2 million a year in sales. He can't let it slip. He's going to have to let employees go. That's not right. He has to make sure he can. He has to try. You know, he has to be mishtadel to maintain all of his employees. Maybe even give them raises. Who knows? So a person in this position who has this nisayon can make three basic mistakes. Number one is he looks at all this money that he's earning, but ofen harava garua biyoser, he can cut corners, he can be dishonest because he has to maintain. He's afraid of slipping, so he has to maintain it, and so he slips into doing things that are usur, that are incorrect, that are inappropriate, gray areas of Isser Veheter. The Ilu Bikshu Bidrachav Hayomasigu B'meitav She'ifaso. If he would feel that he's just an agent of Hashem, so he would have whatever he needs to maintain his melucha, certainly without doing anything Osir. But Hayomistadir lo Inyan Dosova Olomo. He's not going to lose out anything. Certainly it's an inner contradiction to think yourself as an agent of Hashem, which is your heter to have this whole melucha, and then to turn around and do something osur. So that's one nisayon he has. V'ofen hasheni, shuchoshev, he thinks, shekol ma shegil yodu menahon shulatzorech mezono, it's for himself, it's his, and he feels like he's doing people a favor. Ve'inu male alibo, he doesn't realize, ki ha'parnosa nechlekes l'shosha chalokam, and Hashem gives you money, and he gives you extra money, so there's three names on the paycheck. One is your name, v'ucha kolos gufa b'levad, v'u'atochas ne'es Hashem l'chol chay atzof yimei chayav, every person gets what he needs. The hasheni is for others, and that can include your household members, your employees. The hasheni parnosas mozun zulaso, the people who are dependent upon you, and that includes your household. There's no, we don't know, you know, this is already extra money. Hashem promises you your sustenance. There's no promise from Hashem. He says an amazing thing there. It's a little scary. He says Hashem will provide every person with what he needs. But there's no guarantee Hashem will provide everybody with what he needs to provide for others. And that includes household members. There's no promise. Hashem will Paseach es yodecha u'masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon. Hashem provides for everyone what he needs. Chavis Halavah says clearly this does not necessarily include what you, not even your household, not even your children, it sounds like. It's not necessarily so. You might not have enough money for your children. That's what he said. You know, I got to tell this to my daughter. Maybe you'll have, maybe you won't. You know, there's no promise. The the promise of Paseach Es Yodecho Masbiya V'chol Chai Rotzon is that a person has what he needs. That doesn't automatically include household members. So that's another name on the paycheck. That's his point. Another name on the... it's not your money. There's another name on the paycheck. So your name is there, your wife's name is there, your husband's name is there, your children's name are there. Hashem is sending it to them through you. It's not yours. For Hashlishi, the third Nisayon a person, the third type of money, this is what you have, this is your money, then you're a conduit for those who are dependent on you. And he says, there's a third type of money that you're never going to see. That, you know, you're going to be morishit. It's going to be your inheritance. He says, "Panosus rechush, who a moment shembo tovus l'adam." Hashem sometimes sends you money. You're really, someone else is going to get that money. You're just a holding your bank. You're holding it for that person that's going to get it. Balov shmiroso natiroso. You know, you're just holding it. Adasha yorishenu luzuvaso. You give. You'll give it to some, it'll be an inheritance. It's not for you. Your name is not on the check. It's not your money at this point. The fool thinks that all the money that's coming into his bank account is his money. It's his money. He says, no. Hashem is, you're an agent. You're supposed to give it, provide for others. And then he gets excited if he gets less. It's my money, it's mine. And maybe he's stingy, he's afraid. He says, you know, who knows who is going to go up to me? He says, he's talking to the man, he says, your wife's second husband can end up with all the money. You're going to go accumulate money, and you're going to work yourself to the bone. You know who's going to end up with the money? Your wife's next husband. Alimony payments. The Yeshua Sheyi Kapseil Balishto Achrov. You don't know who's going to get it. Well, the Rotscho is a person who's going to kill him for his money. He can end up with the money. Kitzur, his point is it's not necessarily your money. Okay, we have to stop. We'll stop there.